Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you got your Bible, open up to Psalm 115. Here, I'm going to, just to let you know, I'm on the Sunday nights that I'm honored to speak, starting tonight, I'm going to talk about the principles of increase. So, you know, this may be the only sermon you get on it. I don't know. I am scheduled later in the month on a Sunday night, so we'll see. This is what I really feel like the Lord has for us as I was praying last several weeks about these upcoming services this month that I would be speaking. And this subject of increase keeps coming back to me, and that it's something that's very, very important. And I'm going to read two texts here. Psalm 115, we'll read verses 12 through 15. And then I want to read 2 Corinthians 9:8. But let's read, first of all, Psalm 115, verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Well, that's all of us there, right? He'll bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Not just the house of Israel, not just the priesthood there, which is the house of Aaron, not just the ministers. He blesses all that fear the Lord, both small and great. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Blessed. Amen. You know, so much of the time, I think, when we look at things outside of the finished work of Christ, we're trying to get the blessing when we're already blessed. We're already blessed. We're not trying to be blessed. We're not waiting for the blessing. We are blessed. We are. Amen. He says, the Lord shall increase you more and more. Now, who does the increasing here? The Lord. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. These are our foundational verses, if you will. Principles of increase. I use the word principles as opposed to laws because people don't like you say there's laws. Well, principles are the same, biblically, are the same as laws. The reason we use the term law or principle, this is something that works for whosoever will. How many of you know it is a principle of God, it is a law of God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Works for everybody, right? Works for all of us all the time. And so these principles, but sometimes if you say the word law, people think you're trying to put them back under the law of the Old Testament. Well, first of all, who would ever want to do that? Amen. Second of all, you're not going to do that anyway, so what are you worried about somebody trying to put you back under it? Right? Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now here's something, as we get started, realize this, God's nature is increase. You know, I think one of the biggest lies that the devil sold the body of Christ and a big misconception in the body of Christ in universal is that God simply wants us to survive. Just survive. Just survive while you're here. You know, someday, Pastor Rob talked about Beulah Land this morning. And what a great hope that is. But yet, we're still living here, right? And it's not just about surviving until we go to the Beulah Land, until we go to the Promised Land, until we go, if you will, to heaven, and spend eternity with God. But the devil has kind of sold the body of Christ that this idea that spirituality is measured by deprivation and that humility is demonstrated by expecting and having little, and that being content means never believing God or striving for increase. Yet, naturally, there's just something about we all want. How many parents we got in here? You want your kids to have better than you, right? Well, what is that? That's increase. That's increase. And if we, being evil, don't have the good gifts under our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father do for us? See, don't judge Him by me. Judge me by Him. In other words, don't look at me and say, well, God's like, no. God is the perfect. He's the perfect Father. But you know, the Scripture doesn't bear that out. Nothing is further from the testimony of the Scripture than that God is a God of increase. It's His nature to increase. And when you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you know, God's not a God of just merely preservation. He's a God of increase. And His very nature in itself is creative. And if you think about it, if you go back, and let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, but as you go back and look at creation and you look at how God operates, God, everything God creates within it has within it the capacity to grow, the capacity? That's a new word. The capacity. The capacity. Don't try to use that on Scrabble. That won't work. Capacity to multiply. You ever played Scrabble with one of those people? That you have to have the dictionary there to prove that they are not spelling a real word. And then how many of you find out sometimes they do come up with a real word you didn't know was a word? And if you don't know it's a word, I say it shouldn't count. But that's my own Scrabble rules. Amen. Were any of you like me growing up? You were taught how to play games, and then when you came in contact with someone else's family, for instance, your in-laws, you found out you were playing the game and according to the wrong rules? Anybody else? Nobody? Okay, praise the Lord. I got some folks here that know what I'm talking about. But you know, God's a God of increase. In fact, here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, read that. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Notice here. Notice the order here. Before God ever gave Adam and Eve an assignment, He gave them a blessing. He blessed them. And that blessing included the ability to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, increase. Increase was on God's mind from the very foundation of the world. Before sin ever entered the world, God had a plan of increase. He never designed us anything in creation for stagnation. He designed us for growth. And that's the pattern of Scripture. The Garden of Eden was flourishing under God's blessing. Abraham increased so much that kings recognized his influence. Look at Genesis chapter 13. Here's somebody. God told him, get away from your family. Go into a land that I'll show you. Leave everything behind and I'll show you. He said, get away from your family. Now, he let Lot tag along, and that caused him problems later on. But notice what it says here in Genesis 13, verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Now, I do want to say this. We're going to talk about some things, and it does apply to finances. But if you think increase is just about money, then you're missing it. God wants, there's a lot of things God wants us to increase and multiply in. All right? But notice here, you know, these natural things that happen to them are examples to us. How many of you know the Old Testament's written for our example? It's God. It's the precursor to Jesus coming. It's bringing us to Jesus. And we see God interacting with people through His covenant. And any time people would operate in covenant relationship with God, God would cause increase to come into their life. Genesis chapter 26. Increase. In fact, we're going to see that increase is as much about your biblical mindset as it is about what you have. Because before you have, you know, you're going to have to develop a mindset of increase. Now again, if all you're thinking about right now is money, I'm not prophesying, but I'm not prophelying either. When I say increase and all you think about is money, you have a poverty mentality instead of an increase mentality. You know, God has sent me all over the world. What a blessing it's been to be able to just serve God and go and do those things. But in dealing with, you know, I don't know where these terms come from. You know, some people call them developing nations, whatever the case. I don't know what it is. But, you know, most places around the world, I say most, probably, but I would say the majority, but I don't know if I could, most kind of means like 80, 90%. I wouldn't say that much, but I will say this. The majority of places around the world, what we call the poverty level in the United States would be rich in that country. We're blessed, you know. But there's a mentality that goes with that. And some of the people that love money the most have none. And you see it in their panic. Their panic. When you have things, you know, you're trying to be a blessing, you want to give things away, you know, you brought some stuff, God's blessed you, and you tell them, you know, God is blessed. And the panic that they have that they're going to miss out. And you, as much as you assure them, no, there's enough for everybody. Believe me, there's enough for everybody. But the panic. Have any of you traveled internationally at the airport, and when they make that first announcement that they're going to start the boarding process, and people who have an assigned seat on that plane jump up and run to the gate, afraid they're not going to get on the plane. That's a mentality. That's opposite of God. That's opposite of God's mentality. All right? Genesis 26, verse 12 says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." Notice the progression here. He waxed great and went forward. He grew. He became very great. Well, that's the language of increase. We see Jacob, who increased despite being treated unfairly by Laban. Joseph increased from slavery to the palace. Israel increased while living in Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 1. Just look at it, just these few scriptures, just to develop a pattern and see that with God, and when we're walking with God, increase. Here, by this time, there had arisen pharaohs who did not know Joseph and did not honor the agreements that pharaohs had made with Joseph and the children and Joseph's descendants. But it says in verse 12, "But the more," Exodus 1:12, "but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel." I want you to notice even persecution can't stop God's increase. And the New Testament church, you know, followed the same pattern. Look at Acts chapter 6. This isn't, you know, sometimes we use terminology, and I was listening to a minister here just recently, and I kind of tend to agree with him, and we say early church, and if we say early church, that kind of insinuates they're a different church than us. This is really the beginning of the church, because we're part of the same church of the Lord Jesus Christ they are, right? Same body of Christ. You know, Paul said the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Well, these folks are in heaven, but they're still part of this same body, same church. Acts chapter 6, verse 7 said, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." Notice here, the word increased, the disciples multiplied. And you see from that the kingdom of God is expanding. Wherever God is working, increase will follow. Hallelujah. Well, what does God mean by increase then? And of course, as we said, if you hear the word increase and immediately think only money, then you're missing most of what God's talking about. Certainly, God's blessing can affect our finances. Amen. You know, the more I have, the more I can do for people. However, biblical increase is much broader than just material prosperity. In fact, in the Word of God, here are some things that the Bible says that we are to grow in, to multiply in, that can be added to us, and we're to increase in. And I'm not going to take time for you to write these down, okay? Because I don't want to. All right. Might as well be honest with you, right? But here are some things. We are to increase in grace, in wisdom, in knowledge. I mean, you know, our faith can increase. love can abound more and more. We're to increase in joy, peace. We're to increase in influence, in fruitfulness, in effectiveness. How many of you know we're to increase in spiritual maturity? Our good works are increased. Our opportunities for ministry should increase. And the resources to fulfill God's purpose in our life should increase also. See, all those things, an increase in finances is only one of the expression of God's blessing. But how many of you know this? The greatest increase that could ever happen is becoming more and more like Christ. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing, becoming more like Him. And as we believe, as we as believers mature spiritually, every other area of our life begins to reflect His work in us. Hallelujah. So as we said, God is a creator. And everything God does produces life. And life is about growth. Everything Satan does produces death. And so that's why, if looking at it from this standpoint, let's look at John 10:10. Jesus basically summarizes the difference between these two kingdoms that are operating, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, where Satan is the little g, god of this world, because Adam handed his authority over to Satan, committed high treason against God. What does that mean? He knew exactly what he's doing. He disobeyed God, and he handed the authority that God had given him over to Satan. And Satan is still around today because evidently there was a certain time period on it. I don't know. It's in God's hands. I don't have to try to figure out when it's all, you know. Besides that, quick predicting dates when Jesus is coming back, because the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. So if you predict a date and it's that date, you could say, I knew the date. Some of you will get that later. No, you don't know. We don't know. We can sure look at the times and the seasons, though. We are told to know that, aren't we? Hallelujah. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now let's notice here some contrast here. The thief steals, Jesus gives. The thief steals, Jesus gives. The thief destroys, Jesus restores. The thief diminishes, but Jesus multiplies. And so if you think about it, the devil is always trying to diminish and take away from and steal from you what God is doing, whatever God has built. And, you know, it's not just finances. How many know the devil wants to steal your peace? He wants to steal your joy. I didn't give him this verse, but turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 32 through 35. Hebrews 10, verse 32 through 35 says, but call to remembrance the former days, which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. So in other words, after you were born again. You know, really the fight starts once you get born again, doesn't it? It said, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. But notice here, he said, you took it joyfully. You took it joyfully. If you have never, I used to come to camp meeting back in the early 80s, you know, and you had all these different speakers. One of them was Brother Jerry Savelle. I always liked Brother Jerry. Jerry, he's gone home to be with the Lord now. But Brother Jerry had a great sense of humor. But if you have never heard his sermon, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. You need to Google that. If the devil can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. Notice that said, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They'd had compassion on them. They were operating compassion towards the Apostle Paul. The devil was attacking them, trying to take away from them, but they kept their joy. Glory to God. How many know the joy of the Lord is our strength? Amen. The joy. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our health. He wants to destroy our relationships. He wants to rob us of opportunities. He wants us to live a hopeless life. But thank God Jesus came to restore everything the enemy sought to take. I am come, he said. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That word abundantly from the original language of the Greek that was written in carries the idea of something that exceeds the ordinary. Something that is overflowing. Something that surpasses what is expected. Every time I think about that, I think of Ephesians 3 there that God is able to do. The King James says exceeding abundantly. I think most of the modern translations say exceedingly abundantly. Above all that we could ask or think. How many of you know God can exceed your greatest dream? It's something that is, so Jesus said here, not just, he said, I didn't come that you might just barely have enough in life, that you might just barely get along, that you might make it somehow, some way, if you'll just endure to the end. Somehow, you'll come out on the other side. You may, you know, I don't know why Christians, we should read the Bible. I don't know why Christians think, well, you know, I've heard them test. Well, you know, I've come through the trials, the fires, fiery trials. And, you know, I'm smoking coming out. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire. They came out, didn't even smell like smoke. Nothing, there wasn't anything smoky on them. Amen? No, though you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. No, he promised abundant life. And abundant life is a life of increase in all those areas that we're talking about. So, let's talk about this now. And how does God bring this about? Well, first of all, increase begins with our attitude. We should have an attitude of increase. Beginning to end, A to Z, Alpha and Omega, have an attitude of increase. And so one of the first things that God starts dealing with us concerning is not our bank account, it's not our ministry, it's not our circumstances. He starts dealing with our thinking. You know, I would love it if the mountain would just, as soon as you spoke to it, it would just flat. But a lot of times, you speak to it, and you can't see anything. You don't hear anything. Right? But what's our thinking concern? If you spoke to the mountain, it has to go, right? It has to go. But God, you know, God is a master. He's the master of changing us from the inside out. See, everything has within it the seed to produce. Every plant that God made, every animal that God produces from itself. And so, from in us, and the heart of man, the spirit of man, is God's garden, if you will. That's the soil where God begins to plant his way of doing things. His thoughts are there. His words are spirit and they are life, and they go into our spirit, and they illuminate our mind, and we begin to change. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God begins with our thinking. Here, I'm jumping right in the midst here just to pick one verse here, but he's talking about put off the old man, put on the new man here. He says, be renewed, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, That scripture used to bother me because I thought, well, wait a minute, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. How does my mind have a spirit? That used to bother me. But have any of you got a translation there? You can look up a translation that says, in the attitude of your mind. That word there literally in context means your attitude. It means your mental disposition. The spirit of the mind, one scholar said, the spirit of the mind is the governing disposition that shapes how we view God, how we view ourselves, and how we view our circumstances. Attitude is the mindset that we take into a situation. In other words, we enter into the situation with a certain attitude. You know, those who say I can and those who say I can't are both right. And so here he's speaking of concerning that. You know, it's very possible to memorize Scripture and still maintain an attitude of fear. It's possible to attend church faithfully and still expect bad things and failure to come your way. But you know, God desires something deeper. We're not just talking about positive thinking here. We're talking about renewed thinking. In other words, to think like God thinks. How many of you would like to know what God thinks about every circumstance in your life? Do you know you can? Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us. He can show us. Now, God is so merciful. You know, I've heard people put, God, just show me what I need to correct. Okay. I don't know if you're like the rich young guy that Jesus said, only one thing you lack. God has never told me only one thing, Tad, that you lack. It's never been, you know, but I do love him so much that he just gives me one thing. And then when that one thing seems to be, he'll bring something else up. And then you're working on that, and that other thing pops back up. And so you work on that, now you're working together, but you're growing the whole time. Right? You know, sometimes if you got an exercise program and you're lifting weights, you know, you start off on that low weight and then you progress, you know. But then a day you go to the gym and you're like, I can't lift that. You go back to that other weight a little bit, just do a few more reps, build yourself. You see what I'm saying? Just constantly doing it. Hallelujah. So before God changes our circumstances, he's going to change our thinking. You know, we spend a lot of time praying for God to change our surroundings. Lord, change my job. Change my boss. Change my wife. Change my husband. Lord, change my marriage. Lord, change my finances. Lord, change my opportunities. But as we look through the Scriptures, God often begins by changing individuals before changing situations. Think about this. Moses spent 40 years raised as Pharaoh's son, but before he could lead God's people, he had to spend 40 years as a shepherd in the desert of Midian. Joseph, his character was developed before Pharaoh's throne became available. David learned faithfulness while tending sheep before wearing a crown. What do we learn by that? God prepares the person before he enlarges the assignment. A renewed life always begins with a renewed mind. How many of you have ever heard the statement, attitude determines altitude? Our attitude is the direction in which our heart continually leans. W. E. Vine said that the underlying idea of this, the spirit of your mind, is your purpose or your aim. Talking about your purpose, what your aim is. So our attitude determines how we interpret life. Boy, that is so true. You know, probably all of us know that, at least one person, that you know exactly how they're going to respond to something because of their attitude. In other words, their mindset. Their mindset. You know, I don't know, some of you might have that person in your life that it doesn't matter what good thing you tell them, they find a negative. Right? Amen. Why is that? Because that's their mindset. That's their mindset. What are you seeing life through? You're seeing it through God's Word? You know, it's amazing how two believers can experience the same test, the same trial, the same difficulty, because we all walk through the same things, pretty much, you know, as far as to one degree or another. But, you know, one becomes bitter, another person becomes stronger. One sees obstacles, others see opportunities. I will never forget in coaching the Rhema Bible Training College golf team in early 2000s, we were out here at Battle Creek, And they've done away with those holes now, but there used to be a par four that these guys, these college golfers, they could drive that par four from the tips. I mean, it didn't matter how back, they could hit it on the green. But the road was on the left, the trees were on the right, and there were bunkers, all sand traps, bunkers all over in front of it, you know. And I'll never forget, we had a student who had also been a teaching pro, golf teaching pro in his background. And so he came out and helped us. We're all standing there on that tee one day, and he said, you look out there, and you see the road, you see the trees, you see the bunkers. I look out there, and I see opportunity. In other words, what a great opportunity lies in front of you. But if you concentrate, that's why a lot of folks, there's a lot of golfers that cannot hit the ball over the pond, because all they look at is the pond. And whatever you focus on, you will bring to pass. And I've watched them. They've hit the ball that far all around, and they get there, and there's that pond, and they look at it, and they can't get the ball past that pond. They hit it right in the pond. Why? It's their mindset. It's not their ability. Circumstances can be identical, but attitudes completely different. The book of Proverbs reminds us in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, eventually what we think is going to become our believing. And what we believe becomes our speaking. What we speak becomes our actions. Actions become habits. Habits become character. And character determines destiny. I would encourage everyone to, if you have it, get it out again. If you've never gotten it, find the book, Right and Wrong Thinking by Kenneth E. Hagin. Read that book. It's so important. Everything begins with the way we think. Let's close with talking about Caleb for a minute. You know, Caleb, the Bible said, had another spirit. You know, he had a human spirit, but he had another attitude about him. There in Numbers 13 and 14, 12 spies entered into Canaan land, and all 12 saw the same giants. All 12 saw the same fortified cities. All 12 carried the same cluster of grapes. All of them experienced and saw the same facts. Yet the conclusions of 10 were totally different than 2. 10 spies focused on all the obstacles. Joshua and Caleb focused on God's promise. In Numbers 14:24, the Bible says concerning Caleb, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land, whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Notice this. God didn't say, I'm going to give Caleb another opportunity. It said Caleb had another spirit about him. He had an attitude of faith. You know, the attitude of faith will see possibilities where unbelief sees impossibilities. Faith does not deny that the giants exist. Faith simply believes God is greater than the giants. Amen? And that's the type of attitude that we have to have if we're going to increase. If things are going to increase. I know, you know, it's interesting. This is a unique church because so many of you are Rhema Bible Training College graduates. So many students are in this church. It's a unique church. And there's a lot of ministries that operate out of this church. And, you know, everybody's looking for more and wanting to increase, you know, and do those things. But listen, what God has called you to do, and everyone in here is called to do something. You may not be called to preach. You may not be called to, you know, be the head of something, but you're called to do something. And it's not just something small. You're called to increase in what you're doing. Amen? But the way to that is to renew our minds. Let God help us. And how do we renew our mind? From the Word of God. What does God say about it? And your ministry will grow. Your ministry will grow when you allow God's word to change your attitude and develop an attitude of increase. An attitude of increase has an expectancy about it. And when you start seeing everything as a possibility, amen, then things, you're setting yourself up to grow. Now, it may not grow, listen, timing, it may not grow the timing you think it ought to. I mean, Jesus spent 30 years on this earth before he entered into what we know as his earthly ministry. Moses was 40 years in the desert. I mean, hey, don't know about you, I got 40 years. I'm just telling you, if it takes, if I need to prepare for 40 years, now I don't, maybe God had Moses in the desert for 40 years so he could last 40 years with that group he took out of Egypt. I don't know. Glory to God. No, here's something with this. Let me end with this. Our increase or lack of it will affect our brother and sister. Because we're part of the same body. Amen? How many of you know, I don't need a right arm that's so strong that my left arm can't lift anything. I need two strong arms in the body. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say this. I have an attitude of faith. My attitude is an attitude of increase. My mindset is expectant. I'm expecting God to increase me more and more, me and my children, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, come on down, prayer team. You know, start speaking increase. Start speaking increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, everybody in here knows how to increase physically, right? Just eat more. It's too easy. But you know, increase works the same way. Spiritual things, just feed yourself more from the Word of God. Just keep feeding on the Word. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for any reason, gentlemen, come down to our gentlemen over here. Ladies, come down to the ladies over here. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Ushers, did we get our first-time guests what they need? Thank you. Thank you for being. Give our first-time guests a big hand clap. Thank you for being here tonight. Love to see you back on Wednesday night at 7, Sunday morning, 10, School of the Bible. Come on down. Yes, go ahead and come on. Our School of the Bible, which is like Sunday school, meets at 9 o'clock. Let me say this. Some of you may not realize this, but those of you that have been in the 28 to 35 single area, we have combined that class in with our 18 to 27-year-olds. And so School of the Bible, that class is meeting now upstairs in SDC 2 on Sunday mornings. And come be a part of that, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. All right, gentlemen, ladies, we're good. God bless you. Love on somebody before you leave tonight. Let them know you're glad they're here. Come on down if you need prayer. Praise the Lord.